Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
April 25th, 2014 is when they switched our water source from the Great Lakes, Lake Huron, to the Flint River. And that's when the crisis began. But it wasn't really kind of, elevated. It wasn't really diagnosed until probably a year and a half later.
So while this is the fifth year anniversary, it really almost isn't.
Yeah, no. It my work in this crisis came a year and a half after the water switch. But for the people of Flint, this has been going on for 5 years.
So looking back 5 years from now, compared to where we were then, how are we today?
Yeah, so, a lot has happened. So obviously, like a year and a half into the water switch in, August, September of 2015 is when we really knew kind of what was going on with the water. That's when it really became elevated, became this national story. We switched back to Great Lakes water in October of 2015, but we really didn't become a national emergency that Obama declared until 2016. And then since then, the community has come together in the most incredible ways to make sure that the future for Flint is as bright as possible. So, in this 5 years, the city has reached an incredibly low point. But what has happened since then has been phenomenal in terms of turning the trajectory around.
And let's talk about the kids, because I know the kids are your love, really. And
absolutely.
So let's talk about them, because, those kids are now 5 years older.
Yeah. We have, 4 and 5 year olds who've never been able to drink unfiltered tap water. We have little kids who you turn on the water, and to this day, they fear the water because of really the trauma and the crisis that has happened. So really, when we recognized what was happening with this crisis, that not only was there population-wide lead exposure, but really kind of the betrayal and the lost trust and the fear and the anger and the guilt and the anxiety, that everything that was going through the people of Flint, our focus as a community came to holistic recovery. What can we do? What can we do to mitigate the impact of this crisis? We couldn't take it away. We couldn't press rewind. But there's a whole lot that science tells us that we can do, that we have done, to make sure that our kids have the brightest future possible. So, for example, we have two brand new child care centers. 500 kids get year-round high-quality child care in Flint. Massive expansion of early literacy programs, books for kids. I just heard yesterday we have mailed 100,000 books to Flint kids. Every month, Flint kids get a book in the mail. We have school health programs now that we didn't have before, home visiting programs, breastfeeding support, Medicaid expansion. So we have built this model public health program here in Flint to support children, to support families. And the really neat thing is that what we have built in Flint, we are now exporting to other communities. People around the country are like, oh my gosh, Flint had this disaster, but they have built this model of recovery that we can use too, because, the story of Flint's not isolated. There's kids all over this country that suffer from some of the very same toxicities.
So what's so interesting, too, how you said that some of the kids have never known not to drink filtered water or bottled water. But what about the effects of lead now? Is it starting to show up in those kids because it's been so long?
Yeah. So people ask me that every day, like, how are Flint kids doing? And I can tell you about the kids I saw in clinic this week, but that's anecdotal information. And to really get at that population level data, like how are Flint kids doing, that's what the Flint Registry is helping us answer. So the Flint Registry just officially launched earlier this year. This will identify everyone who was exposed, find out how they are doing, get them connected to resources that they can benefit from. And when that registry has a lot of people enrolled, right now we have about 6,000 people who've started that process of enrollment. But when we have that data from the population, we'll be able to really objectively, with data, share how our Flint kids doing. And what we hope to share is not the effects of lead exposure, not the effects of this population-wide trauma, but really the effects of the proactive and positive interventions that we were able to put in place, like childcare, like literacy, like healthcare.
Because actually, without the Flint water crisis, would any of that have happened?
Probably not. These are things that Flint kids really needed for a long time. These are things that kids all over this country needed. But that was the treatment for this water crisis. That, you know, we had something, you know, the water was mitigated, was damaged, potentially was damaging the development of children. And when we look at science, you know, what promotes the development of children? And those are the things that we've been able to put in place.
So on a personal level, tell me how this has changed and impacted your life.
180 degrees. So, but in a wonderfully amazing, privileged way. So I wake up every day and I feel blessed and privileged to be able to do this work. I went from a pediatrician taking care of one child at a time to somebody who now has the ability to impact the lives of so many children. So I have, you know, this fortune of going kind of around the country and sharing the Flint story and sharing, especially with young people, the lessons of Flint and how it applies to people all over the place. So it's been exhilarating, it's been exhausting, but I have been blessed with this microphone that has really given me the opportunity to advocate for children all over this country.
So do you have any regrets in this whole thing?
Absolutely not. My only regret is that I wish I would have gotten involved sooner. So, you know, like we said, the water crisis began in April 2014. My work didn't happen and fully a year and a half later. My work started right when I heard about the possibility of lead in water, but I wish I would have gotten involved sooner.
So if I can switch the topic just briefly, real quick, what do you think of the measles, this whole thing? I mean, is this not crazy?
Yeah, so this is not a different topic. This is a very similar topic because the story of Flint is very much a story of what happens when we deny science, when we disrespect science. You know, basic common sense science was ignored in Flint that, you know, led to our water not being treated properly. And that's very much what's happening in our nation, not only with the vaccine outbreaks, vaccine preventable disease outbreaks, but also with things like the denial of climate change and the cuts to, for example, regulations at the EPA that protect our public health. So this is all under the larger banner of science denial. So we need to do a better job as scientists, as physicians, to communicate the benefits of things like vaccines and action on climate change and what have you.
So if a parent comes to you and says, you know what, I'm simply not going to get my child vaccinated because I know it's bad for them or I've heard it's bad for them, you're saying science will just tell the truth.
I hope so. But, you know, we're in this bizarro state that people don't believe facts and people aren't believing science or respecting. It's not a belief system. It's, you know, respecting facts and data and science. I share that evidence. I share that science. I share that my children are vaccinated. So we work, but we also listen. We listen to parents' concerns and why they have these concerns and the underlying issues and try to kind of combat that with the evidence that these things are safe. And, you know, especially vaccines is probably one of the greatest advances in public health. It is unbelievable that we have children today dying from measles.
Do you think this outbreak is going to get much worse then?
You know, probably measles is very, very infectious. I mean, 9 out of 10 people who are exposed to the measles virus who are unvaccinated will contract measles. So we don't have that level of herd immunity where the population is vaccinated as it should be, especially in certain communities. So I hope that, you know, all the news that's coming out about this and people paying attention to it and all the additional science that shows that these vaccines are safe will encourage more parents to get their children vaccinated. We also need to implement the policies to not make it easy for parents to unvaccinate their children.
So what does that mean? You mean to not do it, or?
Yeah, so, there's waivers. People can sign waivers to get exemptions. So that they don't vaccinate their kids when they start school, we have to make it, you know, more difficult for kids not to be vaccinated. And there's great policies in other states that are really discouraging those waivers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.